can run to, the one who made us whole. So thankful, so grateful. We worship you tonight. We worship you. Praise and adoration. We bring all the glory and the praise to you. Wonderful, mighty God. Father, we pray tonight that you have your way in here.
Yes.
Speak through me, a yielded vessel in your hands. Think through my thoughts, speak through my lips your words. Help me to articulate it well, with accuracy, clarity, simplicity. And may Jesus Christ be magnified and glorified. Give you all the praise for it tonight. Give the people eyes to see and ears to hear with what the Spirit would say to each one. We thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in this atmosphere. Time is going by. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to see everybody in here tonight. Did you come with expectation?
Yes.
Anticipation. That gives God an invitation for revelation and a visitation. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So we have been doing the prayer series, If My People. Hallelujah. Are y'all getting this yet? Yeah, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's so important to the Lord, and especially when he said my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. Because he knows that everything else flows from that place of prayer. No other ministry in the church will be effective and powerful and anointed without the church praying and laying that track for the church to run on. Hallelujah. We need that prayer. Hallelujah. And so we have been looking at the different kinds of prayer, from praise and worship to united corporate prayer, and just a quick review about united corporate prayer. That it is all of the people assembling together at the same time in the same place, speaking out loud or lifting their voices so everybody is a participator. There is a leader. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the greatest leader, and then there's a leader under the Holy Spirit, and as the congregation is tuned in to the leader, one ear open to the leader and the other ear open to the Holy Spirit, we together are releasing our faith at the same time on the same thing together, right? At the same time on the same thing out loud. Everybody is a participator, not a spectator. We don't want no spectators.
Right.
Now, if you're observing and watching and learning, that's one thing. But when it comes to the house of the Lord and united corporate prayer, we're supposed to be participators. All of us lifting our voices to God together. Amen. And we looked at the book of Acts and we saw the different things that united corporate prayer, it produces tremendous power and makes building shaking, groundbreaking power available. Hallelujah. We found out that also it brings deliverance, it activates the supernatural on our behalf, and it produces salvations. And we saw Paul and Silas, and it When it comes to united prayer, it could be in as many as from two to a whole company of believers. And as Paul and Silas got together and they began to, what, pray and sing praises, woo, that was another groundbreaking time happening. Glory to God. The power of God fell. The building shook. There was a great earthquake. And people were released and delivered and set free. And salvations took place because of that. So, you know, as a church, how many of you are expecting lives to be changed because we're coming together and assembling and praying? How many, when you go outside these four walls, you're looking for opportunities? You're sensitive, you're discerning, you're looking, you're expecting. We're living intentional in the day and the hour that we are in. These are the last days, and we know that what? Jesus is coming soon. But before he comes, we know what his heart is. It's people who he died for, who he gave his life for.
Amen.
You know, when it comes to prayer, the more intimate you become with the Father, the more you feel his heartbeat, and you know what moves him moves you. You become compassionate with the same things that he's compassionate about. God loves people. He's so in love with you. If you only knew the Father's love, it's unconditional. It's not based on anything you have done, should have done, could have done, or would have done. It's all based on what Jesus has done. And we just accept that love. But his love is everlasting. Forever and ever and ever. He is the only one that can love you powerfully, permanently, and perfectly. God the Father, Jesus. And so, hallelujah. That was just a quick review about united corporate prayer. But when it comes to united corporate prayer tonight, I want to kind of introduce us into another prayer that can happen and take place in united corporate prayer. Often different kinds of prayer will work together like fingers on a hand. And in united corporate prayer, there can be the prayer of supplications along with the prayer of intercession. And I really want to begin to open the door concerning the prayer of intercession, getting you more knowledgeable of this so that you can give yourself to prayer. You know, there are all of us, nobody is out of this picture, all of us have been called to pray.
That's right.
But there are some of us that are more given to prayer than others. But I'm hoping to stir you up in this series that you're going to be more giving yourself to prayer. And not just a few of us or just the prayer teams that come together for pre-service, church-wide prayer on Thursdays. The whole body. It's his calling. It's our privilege. Come on now. God has called the church to pray. And we need to take it seriously. We need to get on the same page with him. Know what he likes, know what he doesn't like. And then begin to do it and apply it. Work it in our lives. Amen. And so, the prayer of intercession, we're going to begin to look at that tonight. The prayer of intercession is one that can stand in the gap. One that stands in the gap for a person, another person, a place, a people group. But you stand in the gap, you make up the hedge for that individual, that place, or that group of people that you could be praying for. The prayer of intercession is the greatest act of love on behalf of another. It is very unselfish. Why? Because you are willing to give up your time and your schedule and lay your life down and pray for somebody who might be right on the edge of eternity. When you think about that, I don't know about you, but when I just walk down the road with in my community and I'm thinking about the neighbor on the left, the neighbor on the right, and the neighbor behind us, and the neighbor in front of us, and the neighbor beside us, I can't help but think where they will spend eternity. I know it's the Father's heart, and it concerns me if it concerns Him. Because He does not want one to die and go to hell. So we're going to begin to look at the life of Jesus. He's our greatest example when it comes to this as we begin to unfold the prayer of intercession. I had also mentioned the prayer of supplication, and that so many times they're intertwined together with intercession and supplication. You can't tell them apart because they work together. And the prayer of intercession is a humble, earnest, heartfelt, fervent petition before God. Earnest, it's a humble, earnest, heartfelt. You know the Father is in this for that particular individual, person, place. And so as we begin to look at the life of Jesus, first let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 15. Jesus was a very compassionate person, very compassionate. He cared about the people, His disciples that He was training on a continual daily basis. He cared about the people that they came in contact with, from the woman at the well to all kinds of people. He cared and loved every single one of them. And He meant it. He was serious about it. And they found out and experienced and encountered His love and how much He cared for them. In Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 15, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, "For we do not have a high priest." Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with." Our weaknesses and our infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. So here's Jesus, and the Bible says that He has a shared feeling. In other words, He identified with us in our weakness and was willing to take on our weakness so that we could get His strength. Hallelujah. Let's look at another scripture. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. I'm going to read that from the Amplified also. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "In the days of His flesh, while He was here on the earth, Jesus offered up definite special petitions for that which He not only wanted, but needed, and supplications with strong crying and tears to Him who was always able to save him out of from death, and He was heard because of His reverence towards God, His godly fear, His piety, and all in that He shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father." So Jesus was known for praying the prayer of supplications with strong crying and tears for not only Himself, making sure that he was going to fulfill what God had said. That was for him and his fulfilling the plan and the will of God for his life. Yeah. Now let's look at, let's go to another scripture and look at an example here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. I'm going to read 41 and 42 out of the Amplified. It says in verse 41, "And as he approached, he saw the city," talking about Jerusalem, "and he wept audibly over it, exclaiming, 'Would that you had known personally, even at least in this your day, the things that make for peace, for freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin, and upon which your peace, your security, your safety, prosperity, and happiness depends, but now they are hidden from your eyes.'" Jesus, in verse 41, he looked over the city. So he saw the city. And it says here, he discerned what was going on in the city. He recognized the city was about to miss a divine visitation. And Jesus began to weep for that city. There's that intercession again. And we know that ultimately he died for that city. Yeah. Let's look at another example where Jesus is using his intercession for different things. So that was for a city. So it's, you know, I remember when I was in a prayer conference one time and they had asked the leader, they was talking to the leader and all, and they had asked her a question, and this woman had asked the question of that every time that New York City was brought up, she would begin to weep for New York City. And the prayer leader said, "Well, you got a prayer burden and an assignment to pray for New York City." So she encouraged us to stay at it, stay on it, because when it comes to the prayer of intercession, you stay at it, you stay on it, you stay with it until you get a note of victory, or the burden begins to lift, or you feel lighter, you might begin to laugh. That burden that you, or that assignment that was placed on you, is lifted off of you because you have prayed it through or prayed it in, like you were supposed to. And so she had asked, and she says, you got a prayer assignment for New York City. She says, stay at it, keep praying for the New York City until that burden lifts off of you. Or you get a note of victory, or you begin to laugh and rejoice, and you know you prayed it through. So if you ever, you know, get these different kinds of unctions to pray, sometimes I know for myself, I have been out in a store, shopping, being about my own business, and then all of a sudden, a mother with a cart goes in front of me with two little children in the cart, and I could not stay in the store. I had to remove myself and go sit in the truck. And let Pastor Chris know where I was, but sit in the truck because of the intercession that came on me for the two children. And so it's just being available and realizing what the Father is wanting to do We don't know necessarily what's going on, what's happening, but the Holy Spirit does know. And he's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses and infirmities. And so sometimes the prayer of intercession can be for a moment. Sometimes it could be for an hour. Sometimes it could be for 30 minutes. The thing is to recognize it, discern it, and be available for it. Don't push it aside and say, well, this is somebody else will pray about this. No, God has assigned you to pray about it at that given moment. Don't push it aside. I remember a story that Brother Hagin told, and of course he's gone on to heaven, but he kept having this feeling every time he got in his car and he began to drive. He kept having this feeling of being thrown through the windshield. He kept having this feeling being thrown through the windshield. And he kind of pushed it aside and he did not give it his full attention. And he got a phone call and his niece was killed and she was thrown through the windshield and died. So many times you can't figure it out with this noggin right here, your mind, but you don't have to figure it out. It's just being available and giving yourself unto prayer. Because he said if he had taken the time to stop and give himself to prayer, he knows his niece would have never died or been thrown through the windshield. But he didn't. He kept pushing it aside. Things kept coming up. He kept pushing it aside. And then he gets the phone call. So you don't know if it's a matter of life and death for somebody else, but it's very important. Very important to the heart of the Father. So we're going to look now at John chapter 11. Still looking at the life of Jesus and what he did when he came here. So we know he wept over a city. He prayed for a city that he saw was hidden in the wrong direction. So you might have prayer assignments sometimes and it's for a particular place. It might be your own neighborhood, your own community, your own state, nation, your own nation. It could be for other nations. In John chapter 11, we're going to begin in verse 33. We see this is the story of Lazarus, Martha and Mary's brother, and he died. And Jesus goes to the tomb where Lazarus is with Martha and Mary. And let's begin reading here. Let's see. John chapter 11, verse 33. Well, let's go up to 32. Go up to 32. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she dropped down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 33. Then when Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews who came with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. He chafed in the spirit and sighed and was disturbed. Now I want to read that out of the King James Version. King James in verse 33. It says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping with her, or which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. So also part of intercession or the prayer of intercession is there can be groanings that take place, which we won't get into tonight, but we will, I just believe, before this series ends. But he groaned in the spirit. And then if we look at verse 35, it says Jesus wept. What is he doing? He's identifying with Lazarus' sister. He's beginning to feel what she's feeling. See, sympathy says, I know how you feel, I'm sorry, but divine compassion says, I feel what you feel. I feel what you feel. You begin to identify with the individual or the place or the people group. And then we see in verse 38, it says, I'm going to read from the King James Version. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. So we're moving from where Jesus wept for a city. Now it's for someone who has passed, which Lazarus and Jesus and Martha and Mary, they were all very close friends, very knit tight group. And Lazarus has passed and died. And so he's feeling what Martha and Mary are feeling as his sisters that have lost their brother. And it says here, he groaned and he also wept in the spirit, which is part of the prayer of intercession. And this is for, we're going from now a place to an individual. But you see how he partook, he gave himself to that. He identified with those that he was praying for. Let's move on. So we know that Jesus, when he was here, he did partake of intercession. Oh, yeah, and I cannot forget this. Let's look at Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34, and I'm going to read that from the King James Version. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and what is he doing? He's making intercession for us. He's a mediator for the sinner. He's the intercessor for the believer. Jesus is right now. That's what he's doing. He's interceding for you and I. As for you and I as believers, he's like a lawyer pleading our case as the high priest that goes before the Father. He's pleading your and my case. Like if the devil says, oh, they're guilty, Jesus says they've been pardoned. Yeah. Or the devil says, oh, they're sick, and Jesus says they've been healed. Yeah, he's pleading your case. When you agree with him and his word and what his word says about you. Now let's look at also Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. So not only was Jesus an intercessor when he was here on the earth, we know that he interceded, but also he's at the right hand of the Father right now and still interceding for you and I. Still doing it, so obviously is a very important part. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Oh, I got to get in the right thing here. It says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Thank God we have an intercessor who is always pleading our case. Thank God when we agree with God in his word, He goes right to work as our lawyer, defense lawyer. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, now let's move from Jesus to the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit when it comes to intercession? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 26 and 27. First, I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Then I'm going to go back and read it from the Amplified. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. A King James Version, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself," or himself, "maketh intercession for us." Who? The Holy Spirit is also making intercession for us with groanings. Here's that word, groanings again, which cannot be uttered. That means cannot be uttered in your regular known speech. Verse 27, "And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So here the Holy Spirit is also an intercessor, interceding. And guess what? We're going to look at a couple of words here. So that we can get a greater understanding of the helper who lives on the inside of us. He's the Holy Ghost of the innermost, and we need to know how to host the Holy Ghost of the innermost. He's the guide on the inside. But we're going to look at the word here in the King James Version. It says, like in verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth." That word "helpeth" means to take hold against, together with. So the Holy Spirit takes hold against, together with. With who? With you and I. The Holy Spirit takes hold against, together with you and I, against that which is not the will of God in the earth. Just like Jesus had a physical body here on the earth, the Holy Spirit also needs a physical body, you and I, hallelujah, the vessels, the yielded vessels, for the Holy Spirit to express the heart of the Father through for people or a place or a nation or a people group. So that word "helpeth" is the Holy Spirit takes hold against our infirmities. He does not do our praying for us. No, he helps us. We have to do our part by what? Yielding ourselves. Yielding means to give somebody else the right of way. You're yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit and giving him, the Holy Spirit who lives in you, the lover of your soul, the right of way through you for somebody else. Like I said, the greatest act of love is the prayer of intercession, when you're willing to lay down your life for somebody else that needs life. Yeah. So that word "helpeth," to take hold together, so we know it's the Holy Spirit want to take hold together with us against. Let's look at this other word, infirmities. Infirmities in the Greek means a want of strength, a weakness, or an inability to produce results. So our infirmities would keep us from producing prayer results if it were not for our divine helper, the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So we're going to take that word infirmities and we're going to break it down into three categories. Infirmities. Remember, this is the Holy Spirit taking hold together against that which is not the will of God. He's taking hold with who? You and I, who are willing and available and yield it to Him. The Holy Spirit will never force or push Himself on anybody to do anything. Do you hear me? He is a gentleman. If something is forcing or pushing you or pressuring you, that is not the Holy Spirit. It is not God. He always leads with those gentle tugs, nudges, pulls, tugs. It's never by pressure. And too many people, they'll come to me so many times and say, Pastor Debbie, this great pressure is on me for blah, blah, blah. I got to do this. I said, hold it. That's not the Holy Spirit, number one. That's not of God. You're being pressured by the enemy, and he's deceiving you, making you think it's something that it isn't. And we, church, we got to get to the place where we need to recognize and discern these things and know that it's when it's the Holy Spirit, and when it's not the Holy Spirit and the devil just trying to pressure you to make a quick decision that would be wrong and just throw you off the track and the plan and the will of God. So the word infirmities, we're going to break it down to three categories, and we're going to get it in here. Hallelujah. Well. Number one, the word infirmities stands for the word ignorance. The enemy will always try to take advantage of us in the area of not knowing. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, what does it say? My people perish for a lack of knowledge, rejected knowledge, forgotten knowledge. My people perish. That word perish means they die prematurely before they're living out the time that God has promised them. With a long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Psalms 91. So we know we're supposed to have a long life. But the enemy tries to get in there and deceive and lie. Also in Isaiah chapter 5 and in verse 13, it says, my people go in captivity to their enemies because of a lack of knowledge. So one type of the infirmity, that word infirmity, the Holy Spirit helps us when it comes to ignorance concerning the will of God, the knowledge of God. What's the answer, Pastor Debbie? What do we do? Well, we pray Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, which is Spirit-anointed prayers. Brother Hagin talked about praying these prayers so many times in his life. Even in a day's time, he would pray those prayers over and over again. Why? Because these prayers pray and ask God for you to get filled with the full, deep, clear knowledge of His will. So you would know the Father's will and not be confused about it. What's also the answer for this ignorance, this type of infirmity? Praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit helps. He takes hold together with us against this infirmity, against this lack of knowledge here. Why? Because He wants you knowledgeable concerning the things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost and of the Word of God. So if we look at Colossians chapter 1 and we read verse 9 through 12, powerful prayer. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 9. It says, for this reason we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray. Here we go. and make a special request for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, clear knowledge of His will. There you go. Knowledge of whose will? God's will. In all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. That you may walk, live, and conduct your lives, yourselves, in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, desiring to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God, with fuller, deeper, clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory to exercise every kind of endurance, patience, perseverance, forbearance with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Hallelujah. Powerful prayer. It's a good prayer. Hallelujah. So the answer to praying for this type of lack of knowledge or ignorance is to what? Pray these prayers, pray this prayer, and pray in other tongues. The Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities or weaknesses. And we're going to stop here tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So let's stand to our feet. So the introduction to the prayer of intercession. It can have weeping in it, groaning in it. We'll get further into the depth of all that and what it pertains to and means. It also blends with that the supplication prayer, which is earnest, it's heartfelt, it's humble, it's fervent. So God is looking for a people that's available and willing to give their time to pray. What does the Bible say? There are many in the valley of decision. There's people that you know, whether it's coworkers, family, neighbors, that need our prayers. And it's urgent. Some people, they will hear the gospel, the good news. They'll hear it preached and they'll respond and get saved and born again. But there are others that unless somebody is taking the time to intercede for them, they will not. Because the prayer of intercession, and we'll be getting into this further along as we go, is also the greatest way to break the power of the devil off of a sinner's life. And when somebody's in a matter, when they're in a life and death situation, and there's no intercessor, what did God say in His Word? He said He's looking for somebody that's willing to stand in the gap. There was Abraham when he stood in the gap. Moses. So He's always looking for intercessors. Those that are willing to give their time. Give up their sleep. What, Pastor Debbie, I can't imagine giving up my sleep. That's all right. Keep drawing closer and closer to God. Getting to know Him. And what matters to Him will begin to matter to you. So if there's anybody in here tonight, first of all, you need prayer. Maybe you're not right with God. You need to come back to God.